stories of what God's already got making better in people's lives. Just, I was like, go, God, good. If you missed last week, go online. You can listen to it or you can get a CD. I still pop CDs in. But bitter to better, and that was our word for YCF, that we're going to go to better 2019. Anybody desiring better? Man, if you don't, no comment. All right, let's pray. Father God, you're so wonderful, so wonderful, so wonderful. And we thank you for all the people that just have four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive, just want to defy and just get the heck out of the house so you don't have to clean it. But I thank you that they are here to gather to hear a word from you. And Father, when we open our hearts and we are expecting, you always fill us. So I thank you for filling us today and directing us with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today I want to talk about first. It's the first of the year. And how many like the first of the year? I like the first of the year. I got a new calendar. You know, I'm like, yay, a new year. I like it. But more importantly, I want to talk about the law of first. The law of first. And it's actually a principle all throughout the Bible from cover to cover, the law of first. Everybody say first. How many of you have kids or had kids and they'd yell, you'd get mom the driver yells, and all of a sudden the cry goes out through the land, I call shotgun, and they're running. You think they could qualify for the Olympics. They are sprinting to get into the car to be first for the best seat. Mama's got the best seat, but you know, shotgun, right? One of my kids one time, no joke, the window was down and one kid was going to grab the door to open it. This one flies through the window. It was probably Joy. She was a little wiry thing. She jumped through the window and they're screaming and they're laughing. Most of the time, nobody beat up anybody for calling shotgun. And then my son got really smart. First off, it didn't take him long to get dressed in the morning, these girls. And I'd be yelling, hey, I'm leaving in 5 minutes. And Jesse would disappear. He got shotgun. He's sitting in the garage in the seat. He's smarter than those girls, I'm telling you. But it was all about to get the best seat. Anybody like the best seat? Well, I like to be first. I like to be first. I like to get the best seat. And by the way, next Monday, Sherry and I get to go, thank you very much, to the minister's conference in Fort Worth. And I will pray that Sherry will get up early so we can have the best seats. Doesn't always go that way. And I'm like, come on, girl, get up. We're going to go take a shower and do stuff. So anyway, best seats. So praise the Lord. I like to be early. I like to get the best seat. And today we're going to talk about being first so you can have the best seat. So if you're taking notes, this is my main idea. Put God first. Put God first and you'll never be last. One amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's all right. You're at the right place. You're going to get it. Okay. I'm telling you, if you put God first, you will never be last. You will have the best seat. You will. Praise God. It's actually a principle all throughout the Bible, and I'm going to teach about it today. The interesting thing is whatever area you give God, whatever area you open up to put God first, he'll come in and fill it. He'll come in. But you, whatever. Now, some areas I've opened up. Come on in, God. And other areas, just leave that closed. But I'm working on it. I'm working on it, okay? But I want to challenge you today. What areas would you open up and put God first? And I will tell you, you will not be the last. You will not be disappointed. So that's my goal for today, is that we are going to put God first in areas of our life. And I won't tell you where we're going there. We'll get there eventually. All right. Open up to Proverbs. Let's start off there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Proverbs 3, verse 6, okay? And I'm telling you again, if you put God first in an area, you will be blown away what God will do in your life. When you get to Proverbs 6, yell, hallelujah. Gosh, there are Pentecostals in here. Oh my gosh, I'm in the wrong church. Now you're at the right church. You ready? Proverbs 3, verse 6. Proverbs 3, verse 6. In everything. Everybody see that word? everything, in everything you do, put God second, third, last, first. Okay, in everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Okay, so the emphasis is in every area of your life, put God first. In everything you do, put God first. Put God first. Put God first. Okay, and what happens when you put God first? He directs your life. He'll get you where you're supposed to go. He will get you where you're supposed to be, but you got to do what? Put God first. Now listen, y'all rap differently than me, thank God, only one of me, but your personalities and even your walk with life, this still applies with you. If you put God first, he will direct your life. And the second part says, he will crown your efforts, because it takes effort, doesn't it? It takes a little of effort to put God first. Yeah, but listen what happens. He says, he will crown your efforts with success. So if I put God first, he will bring success in that area that I'm giving him. So if I give him an area, he just said he's going to give me success. And the success could be peace in your life, joy in your life. It could be anything. Whatever you give him first, he's going to dump success in. Right? Success. I like success. All right, here's another scripture. Praise the Lord. Turn over to Matthew 6. This is New Testament, Matthew 6, 33. Again, if you put God first in an area, you will not be last. If you put God first, you'll not be last. So Matthew 6, 33. This, I bet you y'all could sing it. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All right. Now, if you're to read this in context, that means you go read a couple scriptures up. What he's talking about, hey, don't be like those that don't, or the heathens that don't know God. Hey, don't be like those that don't know God. All they do is chase after just the stuff of life. All they're doing is chasing after the stuff of life. And he's going, hey, don't be like that, but seek me first, and I'll take care of the stuff. I'll take care of the stuff. Alrighty, now, you still have to take care of stuff, guys. How many of you still have to go to work? How many of you still have to do your laundry? How many of you still have... Okay, you still have to do stuff, but God is saying, hey, if you put me first, I'll get the rest of this towards you. I'll get take care of it. All right? So, number one, he will bless you. And number two, he will give you all the things you need. But you have to do what? Put him first. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, you putting him first? Don't answer them if you say no. Okay. Now, obviously the word first is pretty simple. It means first. Okay. The word first means first. It actually means priority. Okay. So how about you prioritize to put God first? You're going to prioritize him and his kingdom and the thing he's called you to do and the things that he just loves. You're going to prioritize that he's got it. He's got it. Okay. And now the word seek means, okay, I'm going to seek. I'm going to go find. I'm going to go that way. But it also means consume. If you're taking notes, write that word down. Consume. So I want to put him first and I want to seek him. I want to be consumed after him. I want to be consumed after him. I want to be consumed in finding what God's got for me. I want to be consumed. Now, how many of you have ever had a day where you're just going, I'm going home and I just want to sit and veg in front of the TV and I go reach for the channel changer? I can't find it. Okay, so what's the first thing I do? Start throwing those pillows on the ground. You know, we got a dozen pillows and they're not under the pillows. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'll just kind of the cushions that you sit on, I'll toss them. I don't see it. And next thing I know, I drop to my knees and I'm not praying. I am down on the floor looking under my sofa and I've got this sectional and I am searching and I am consumed and finding my remote control. And finally I do this, and this is a little scary sometimes, especially when I had little kids. You stick your hands where those cushions back in there, you can find some gross things. Okay. But nowadays I usually find bobby pins, back in the day, Cheerios, gummy, sticky, gooey things. popcorn. Nowadays we find popcorn, but you know what? I am not going to stop because I am consumed in finding my remote control. Okay? So this says, how about, this is what God is saying, I want you to seek to find me. I want you to be consumed to go after me. Like you go after your channel changer. Okay? Everybody say consumed. Now again, it doesn't mean you just give up on everything else in life. There's just some things you've got to do every day. But God's saying, put me first, be consumed with me first, and I'll take care of everything else in your life. All right, close your eyes for a second and say, Lord, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to be consumed after you. Amen. Praise God. Open your eyes now. Okay, can't get coffee till the later. Now, what I'd like to do is I'm going to share. This took me about a decade. After I got saved, this took me a decade to figure out, put God first. So I'm going to just share what I've learned. I'm going to share some scriptures. And if you're new to walking in the Lord, well, I'm just going to throw you forward and you're just going to get smushed all the way up there, because I'm going to just share all these scriptures that'll get you so you see and you consumed, and God can get in your life and bless your life because you've got him consumed. Amen. If you're taking notes, write this down. This is what I learned. It took me a while, but it says, seeking God's kingdom isn't like homework. Seeking God's kingdom isn't like homework. It's like a treasure map. Okay. I don't know about you. I really didn't enjoy school. I tried to do a lot of things in school, but when I got home from school, you know what I did not want to do? I didn't want to do homework. I've been at school all day. Who would want to do homework? You've been at school. You got to come home and do homework. I didn't like to do homework. Anybody else with me? Didn't like to do homework. I'm telling you, okay? So I definitely wasn't excited about doing homework. And sometimes when we think of God, we're sort of that way, like, oh, gosh, I hear I need to pray. Ugh. Gosh, I need to read my Bible. Ugh, gosh, I need to do this. Ugh, gosh. And it's more like, okay, check, I'm going to do it. It's like homework. Check, I'm going to do it. Check, I'm going to do it. Okay, that's not what seeking God's about. Seeking God should not be like homework. Just do it, okay? Seeking God should be like this great treasure map. Okay, because I found that when I start seeking him, consume with him, I start finding things out about him. Like, whoa, this is my God. You know, so when I start seeking him and just really just desiring to know him and put him first, I start reading my Bible and I'm like, whoa, I never saw that before. It just comes alive. Okay, so it's more like a treasure map, okay? It's just, and I tell you what, as I'm seeking him, putting him first in my life, and just desiring this and loving to read my Bible, my life. Has anybody's life been changed since you've ran into him or he ran into you? I'm telling you what. So I like to say it's a treasure map. It's not like a homework assignment. Here's another scripture. Open up to Matthew, but turn over to Matthew 7. Remember, seeking God isn't a homework assignment. It is a treasure map. Matthew 7. Listen to this. It says, I'm going to read 7 and 8, but here it goes. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Okay. Asking in this, it's just talking about prayer. Just like general prayer. It's praying, really, it's praying and asking for God for all the things that Jesus has already done for you and just stored up for you, okay? It's just asking. It's real simple. And then the next one, knocking. It's like knocking. It's more of a specific thing. And it's like knocking, God, I'm asking that you would just open doors for me. I thank you, Father. I just ask that you would just open my eyes that I can see. So that's kind of what I'm going to talk about, asking and knocking. Those are just two different things, and we can get into that, but I want to talk about seeking. It's like my word today, seeking, all right? Now, seeking, it says everyone who seeks. Now, in the Greek, It's a continual thing. So it's not a one-time deal. I love kids. I read my Bible once. No. This is a continual thing. So he's saying, if you keep asking, you'll keep receiving. Continual. If you keep knocking, you'll keep having doors open. If you keep seeking, you'll keep having your eyes open. You're just things pouring into your life. But it's a keeping on. It's a keeping on. All right. Now, the other flip side, the negative side to this is, so wait. So this is what God desires. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep knocking and it'll be keep giving until I'm going to keep this going. But the other side is, ooh, if you don't, then you're not going to experience maybe more of the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord. You could go through your life and not have the more. You could go through life and not have the more, all because you're not putting him first and seeking him and just continuing in there. And I don't want to do that. I'm like, what Sherry said, blow the lid off and ask for more. I'm a more. I want more. Okay. And the reason is when we put him first, we're going to find more about him. He's going to direct your path in this way. And this thing just blew up yesterday in my life and I just don't know what to do. So I'm just going to settle down and seek him and just dig in his word and then get quiet. And he's just going to show me the road to take because I am going to seek and put him first. All right. So that's how you do it in life. And it's just wonderful. But if you put God first, I'm telling you what, you will not be last. If you put God first, you'll not be last. Okay, now I'm moving to where I really want to get. This is all the nice stuff, okay? So I want to talk about putting God first in your finances. Somebody said, oh, beep, she's going to talk about money. Yep. Got to talk about money. There's over 800 scriptures that talk about money in the Bible and only 5 that talk about prayer. Yeah. So I want to talk about money and putting God first in your finances. Now, for those of you, anybody got guests here? No, we got no guests. These are all family. I don't think I taught last year on finances. Now, I'm a little slick. I throw some little mini commercials in there. They're just little blurpers that just blow up in your face and then I go on. But I have not taught about this and the Lord's, and you know, somebody says, well, Pastor D, you should do it. No, I'm just going to follow God. But when I talk about putting God first in your finances, I'm not talking about we need to get more money here at church. That is not the purpose. So you'll give more money to YCF. But if you'd like to, you can make out your checks so you can give online. But that is not the purpose here. Today I want to talk about the putting God first in your finances, all right, so that God can bless your finances. It's real simple, okay? Now, and it's the greatest place to watch God bless is when you talk about putting God first in your finances. But I will say, you put God first in any area, he's still going to do the same thing. He's going to pour out his blessings. You put him first in these areas, he'll just pour out his blessings. But today, for the rest of this time, I want to talk about putting God first in your finances. Everybody say, money, money, money. Money. We're going to talk about money, okay? Now, got to be real upfront. I don't know what you give, and I don't know what you don't give. I really don't care, in a sense, what you give at YCF and what you don't. Okay? Now, I can find out because I know how to do the program, but I really don't want to look at what you give and what you don't give. What I want to do is look at you as a follower. I want to look at you if you're not a follower, because you're soon going to be a follower. I just want to look at you because I want you to be hungry to know that if you put God first in this area, like all the other areas, he's going to dump blessings on your life, right? He'll take care of your life. So that's really my purpose, and I want to help you. And again, I don't care what you give in that sense, but I really would like to help you grow so you can just take the lid off so God can just do great things in your life. So, number one, putting God first in our finances. Okay. Some people, just the way God made them, have like these crazy abilities. They just make money. They just make money, okay? They're like super, super entrepreneurs. They're just got these gifts. They make money, all right? And even, listen to this, even without God, they just make money. You know that big construction company with the red trucks and the white letters? I know the owner of that company. He just makes money. I lived next to his son for a long time. And he started beginning stages of entrepreneur number one, pulling a red wagon and collecting bottles and cans off the road as a kid. So he started. He didn't just come from money, okay? But listen, even that company and that whole dynasty over there, you could put God in there and God will do even more on top of their ability. And, you know, we kind of kid around, Sherry and I, like, you know, this understanding numbers and stuff like that. It's just some days I'm like, oh, gosh, you know, but this promise says, oh, gosh, it doesn't matter, because if I put God first in my finances, he's going to do more than my ability. I'm like, go through the ceiling, God, that sounds awesome. Anybody might just want to have a little help on your finances going through the ceiling this year? Anybody? Okay. Good. Okay. So let's talk about the first story in the Bible where it talks about putting God first in finances. Now, again, I'm going to say this over and over. This is a principle from cover to cover. You can't start and end the Bible and not see this principle. It's a principle. It is true. So we're going to talk about two boys, two brothers, right? We're going to talk about two brothers, Cain and Abel. And what they did is they brought an offering to God. They brought an offering to God. It wasn't a sin offering because they screwed up so bad they had to do this. No, it was a financial offering that they brought to God. And the crazy thing that happened is God blessed one and poured favor out on one. And the other one didn't get any blessings. The other one didn't have any favor. All right. So again, this is an incredible principle, truth in the Bible. We're just going to look at it. Okay. Now, number one brother got mad at number two brother because God was blessing Abel. God was blessing Abel. All right. He got mad at Abel. He got mad at God. So mad that he decided to murder his brother. Y'all know this story? All because God, listen to this, was pouring out favor on the one who put God first. And he was mad. This isn't fair, God. You're showing out, you know, favor on this. So open up to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. We'll look at this. Genesis 4, verse 1. Again, they were bringing an offering. It had to do with their wealth, their finances to the Lord. This is how this goes down. So Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Adam made love to his wife. By the way, it wasn't his girlfriend. They were married. Did you notice that? It's just a little side, little trivia, just in case you don't know your Bible. And she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Verse 2. Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. Both of those are very good occupations, okay? God's not saying, well, one, you know, he's just a farmer and this one. Okay, these are good occupations back then in the Bible days, okay? Verse 3, in the course of time, Cain brought some, emphasis some, and we'll see why, okay? He just brought some, all right? Some of the first of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Verse 4, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portion, from some of the firstborn. We're going to look at that word first, and we're going to look at it first, and we're going to look at it first. We're going to look at that word first a bunch today, okay? Now, what that tells me is that Abel understood the law of first, and Cain didn't. Abel understood this first, and Cain didn't, okay? So, where am I? So, fat portion of some of the firstborn of his flocks, okay? And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Okay, so here we go. Here we go. Here's God, and he's looking on favor. Anybody like favor in your life? I like favor. I like being great things dumped on my life there. I do, okay? Now, let me just say this. This just didn't happen in a minute. time. There was a time. There was a bunch of time that went by. And after time went by, listen to this, Cain began to look at his brother Abel, and he's miffed. He's looking at his brother Abel, and he's going, man, Abel, he's like got his sheep are always strong. And they just seem to be doing better. I mean, gosh, he's always got these great sheep. They're like blue prize winners at the fair, okay? And then he's noticing, hey, you know, my crops the last couple years just haven't been doing so good. I don't know. I don't get it. And so he gets mad at his brother because his brother and God. Oh, by the way, don't get mad at God. He's getting mad at his brother because his brother's sheep and goats and whatever are doing really good. So he's just like, mine aren't. So he's mad at God. Hey, God, how come, you know, I'm not doing so good? Hey, God, how come Abel's life is so blessed? So God decides he's going to help him out and tell him why. God's going to tell him why. So he's going to, verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face cast down? Why do you have a pickle in your mouth? Why are you depressed? Why are you so angry? He's just going, what's going on here? All right. And then, let's see, where are we? At verse 7. If you do what is right, you will not, excuse, it's more like a question. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Like, duh. If you do what's right, won't it be accepted? Duh. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must overrule it. Okay. So it's so interesting. Do what's right. Did you see that part? If you do what's right. So somehow he must have gotten some instructions on to know what to do is right. Somehow he must have found out to do what's right. Because Abel did, all right? Now, if you look at the Bible, if you look at the book of Genesis, through the book of Genesis, God was speak to Adam and Eve in the garden. I mean, a voice, right? And God, it says here, and so God was speaking to Adam and Eve, and then he would speak to Cain and Abel. He would speak to them, okay? He would give them instructions, all right? Now, for y'all and me all, okay, I have to hear on the inside, right? You hear the word God speak to you on the inside. You read the Bible or you hear on the inside, or I do it by faith and I'm just going, okay, God, I'm reading this. I believe you're talking to me. But these guys, God talked, communicated here, not here. He talked to them. He gave them instructions, okay? Because he says, right here, he says, but if you do what's right, okay? So God over there is having conversations with him. Isn't that bananas? You could hear this voice talking to you, giving you instructions, giving you directions, telling you what is right. Okay? Telling you what's right. So this is what happens. So God is having conversations with Cain and he says, hey, listen, I taught you what's right. Will you just do it, buddy? Right? I taught you what's right. I just need you to do it. Okay. Now, I'm going to read the same verse in the Amplified because it just amplifies it just so big, so big, so big. Let me see. Amplified. If you do it well, believing me and doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, you will not be accepted. And if you do not do well, but ignore my instructions, sin crouches at the door. It desires for you to overpower you, but you must master it. Okay. So I'm telling you, God taught him what was right. God instructed him. God gave him directions. And sin was, unfortunately, he didn't follow it. And it said sin was crouching at the door. And what happened is he gave in to his anger, he gave into his jealousy, he actually gave into pride, and then he got mad at his brother and murdered him. This is the first place that somebody murdered somebody in the Bible. It's the first place, and it was all about an offering to God. It was all about an offering to God, right? Somebody got murdered because they put God first and gave an offering to God. Boy, there's going to be a lot of dead people in here, huh? Well, listen, the first murder was all about somebody put God first and gave an offering to God. That's kind of sad. Okay, now, I want to do something. I just want to tell you chronologically so I can get you to the next place. Chronologically, like A goes to B, goes to C. This happened here, this happened here. So in Genesis chapter 4, Genesis 1 through 4, we've got God talking to Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. And let's just say that's over here. Go here. And then a few years down around the middle part, God has Moses on the scene. Moses on the scene. And God gives Moses what? The law. And it's somewhere over here. And then down here in the New Testament, along comes Jesus. Jesus is the new covenant, right? The new covenant, the New Testament. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, right? Jesus fulfilled the law. That means we don't have to sacrifice any more animals. He's the beginning and the end all to those kind of sacrifices. Now, back when we've got Cain and Abel and Moses, they were still sacrificing animals. So all you animal lovers should be just tickled pink, okay? Just like that. So Jesus has fulfilled everything, the law. He's fulfilled everything, the law. So, and how many of you know we're not under the law? We're not under the Old Testament law. We're not under it, but the principles over here are exactly the same over here. How many of you know the law of gravity? Gravity. How many of you know it's still gravity. It's still there, guys. Just jump off of something and you're going to go down. It's always there. So we're not under the law, but the principles are still here today. I'm building a case. Praise the Lord. So what God taught Cain and Abel, that principle, put God first in your finances, is still today. Still today, all right? It's a principle. It's still today. Okay, so everybody say, same principle, same today, all right? Turn over to Malachi chapter 3, Malachi 3, verse 6. I'm going to show you. It's okay, you probably all know this one, Malachi 3, 6. For I am the Lord God. I do not, what? Change. I do not change. That is why you are not already utterly destroyed, for my mercies endure forever. You know, every once in a while I think, man, I'd be hit by lightning if it wasn't for the mercies of God. Some of you, I know your stories. You would have been hit by lightning if it wasn't for the mercies of God. Aren't you glad for the mercies of God? God, thank you. You are so merciful. Okay, but I like the other part. Go to the first part. God doesn't change. God doesn't change. And you can just write this down. Hebrews 8:13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? Y'all heard that before? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. So, yeah, the law was fulfilled, but the principles, these are good stuff. They're still today. The principles still today, okay? They're always there. So God taught concerning giving in the law, that principle, it's still today. And I'm going to show you some more scriptures. Turn over to Exodus 23, Exodus 23. Exodus 23, verse 19. A principle, truths that are still today. Okay? Exodus 23, verse 19. Bring the best of the first fruits. Everybody say first. Of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Bring, okay, now remember back then they were all farmers or herders or cowboys or whatever, okay? All right? So, and he's saying, I want the first fruits, okay? Do you know what the first fruits are? The first thing that ripens on the tree. The first thing that ripens on the tree is the first fruits, okay? Now, and the word first is really important. We're going to read another one in Exodus 13, verse 12. Exodus 13, verse 12. You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to who? The Lord. Okay. So again, this is not a sin offering. This is a financial offering, okay, that they would bring. And back in their days, they would bring it to the temple. Okay, today, where would you bring it? You'd bring it to your local church where you're planted. You'd bring it to the church, okay, and it's to help God do the work for the vision of that church, okay? And then as you give, God just, he's just so wonderful. He'll bless you as you give. He blesses you in a lot of things, but this one is true. Now, we're going to go back to that Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to read that same one again, because you're all of a sudden your eyes are going to go, whoa, okay, Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. Genesis 4, verse 4. Genesis 4, verse 4, okay? And Abel also brought an offering, fat portion, from some of the firstborn of his flocks. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Okay, now. Cain just brought some produce. Doesn't say what, but we know that it was not accepted by God, right? All right, now. God wants to teach us about putting him first in our finances so that the favor and the blessings come on you in this portion. But you just have to give it to him, okay? So God wants to teach us that he wants us to put it first so he can just do his stuff. God just loves to just bless us. Now think this through. First fruits. How about you have one of those years where it didn't rain a lot? Didn't rain a lot, or it rained a lot. You know, one of those others. And it didn't rain a lot, so your fruit's kind of small. One year, I was going to go pick strawberries, and they were just kind of terrible. I didn't pick strawberries that year. So first fruits. But maybe sometimes the first fruits are duds, right? You can have a year where it could be a dud, all right? Or you can have a year where it's like the blue winter, you know, the farmer's winter blue ribbon. That's what I want to say. The blue ribbon. It's just like you got the fattest cow, you got the biggest grapes, okay? You could have a year. So you could have a year for your first fruits where it's really good, and you could have a year where your first fruits, just cause, it's not so good. Right? All right, now. God doesn't really care if they're good or not so good that year. He just wants you to put him first in giving. And I hear people, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, all right. So he just wants you to put him first, okay? That's what he cares about. And that's why it's called the law of first. Just put him first. Put it in first, okay? So how does that translate today? Everybody say, Pastor D, I just love you. Okay, because I'm going to step on toes right now, okay? Been waiting all year to say this. Hot dog, here we go. Now, how does that look today? How does that look in our modern Christianity? Put God, give God the first fruits or the firstborn, the first. How does that look? Okay, well, we did it today. Come to church in our worship service. We give God our first in our offering unto him. Okay, now, sometimes what happens is we come to church and we open up our wallet and we go, oh, I got about 5 ones. I'll put 3 in there. I'll keep 2 because I want to go get a coffee. I don't even know how much coffee costs. I will not pay for coffee. That's just too much money. I can buy something else, okay? But I'll buy French fries, okay? So what we're doing is we're coming to church and we go, hey, God, you know, I got 5. I'll give you 3. And we're giving him actually the leftover. Somebody say amen, Pastor D. All right. Or maybe you've got a 5 or a 20. And you look and you go, well, you know, this week I did this and this with my money and this and this. And, oh, here's my leftover. Here, you can have it. Everybody happy here? All right. Or how about this? I've missed 3 weeks of church. You know, I was doing this. Okay. And you don't give your first to the Lord. Then you come back to church and you don't make up for what the weeks you missed, but you open up your wallet and you go, well, there's some stuff in here. Matter of fact, I'm just feeling so good. I'm just going to dump it all in. Okay. That's what it looks like a lot sometimes, okay? And actually, that's what Cain did, and I got a new word for you. That's kind of Cainish. It's Cainish. It's my new word, Cainish. He just took the leftovers, all right? Now, he just took the leftovers, okay? Now, Abel, you know what he did? He says, God, I am putting you first, right? put us first. First to who? God. First. All right? Now, today, how do I say this? So I want to give my first, okay? And as I give my first, that gives God an opportunity to bless my finances. But if you don't, that's okay. But I want my finances blessed, okay? Now we got this thing called tithing. Everybody say tithing. Tithing is what? 10% of your income. That's an offering to God, all right? Now, when I first heard about tithing, I said, what the what? Give 10%? You must be nuts. I really didn't like that idea. Okay, couple issues. Controlling, you're going to tell me what to do. But that really wasn't it. It was more like, you are telling me that I have to 10%. Now, back then, I didn't make much a lot of money. And you would think 10% was $1 million the way I was squealing like a pig. But I was like, just giving God a hard time about this. But I want to tell you something. I've been tithing. Gosh, I'm still tithing. Jack and I have tithed our entire marriage. I have tithed. And I have watched God do supernatural in my finances. Like, I should not have what I have, be blessed like I'm blessed, if I had to go on my own ability or my own cha-ching, okay? Okay? So, but the thing is, you know, I can tell you about all this, but I encourage you, go to our bookstore, go buy, get the mini books. It'll cost you some cha-ching, not much, okay? And you need to study this. You need to just go through these scriptures, because I did. When someone told me 40-some years ago about tithing, I was like, that's not in the Bible. That's like the devil. I mean, I just, you know, you're talking about my money. So I went and I got these little mini books and I just started looking up every scripture. And it took time, probably took about 6 months before I parted with 10% with joy. Okay. Not the plunk plunk. Okay. So I encourage you to do that. Okay. But here's the thing, guys, you put God first in your finances. He just has this crazy way, wonderful way, I shouldn't say crazy, wonderful way of blessing your finances. Raise your hand if you've had God bless your finances. And you know, above and beyond, okay? And I've taught my kids how to do it, and they have banana stories. Just these crazy stories of just being, just putting God first in their finances. I'll never forget that year Sherry's out in college. She's got that old Jeep that, whatever year that was so old. And the air conditioning went out in Oklahoma. Not one summer. This is the second summer she's running around in Oklahoma. And it can get to be 110s. It's disgusting out there. So just disgusting. It's so hot. Okay, and she drives around with her windows open the whole time. And this gentleman that she worked with in the youth ministry put two and two together. And he said, Sherry, what's going on with the windows? And she says, well, the air conditioning's out. It's going to cost that much money. And by the way, she never asked her dad and mom for it. Okay. And she said, but I just know my God's got taken care of. And he says, give me your car. I want it at this place at such and such time. And he paid for air conditioning. My kids, you'd start your kids early. I used to teach my kids, if you received any kind of money, birthday money, this day they all started birthday money, you know, let's put God first. Oh, yeah, Mama. Most of them would dump the whole thing. One of them, I don't know, you know. But anyway, they're blessed. Okay. So if you're listening and this word tithe just makes your brain go tilt, 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 okay, and you're thinking, oh, how can I still put God first? How can I still put God first? I'm just going to, God, I hear this teaching, God, I'm listening to what you're saying, God, you know, I don't know if I have faith to do this. If you don't have faith, don't be dumb, don't give. There's no blessing unless you give it in faith, okay? But I'll take it anyway. Don't worry about it. But you won't see the blessing unless you give it by faith. Okay, years ago, okay. Nope, I can't say that. That's okay. I'm getting myself in trouble. Okay. So this is what you could do. I almost got myself in really trouble. Okay. So, and I thought, I'm looking at Lane going, oh, they're recording this. Don't say what you're going to say. Okay. Okay. Yes, Lord. Okay. So if you're struggling with this, what you could do is say, God, I want to work towards this. I'm not there yet. God, I want to work towards. So you know what, God, I'm going to give 3% of my income, I'm going to put it first to you, okay? And God, I'm going to be consistent. That's what I love about it. You can give online. You don't have to be here. You can just go online and you can be consistent, all right? Just in case you don't know that, you can be consistent. You can mail it in. Well, I don't know if anybody has stamps anymore, okay? But God, I'm going to be consistent on 3%. Because Lord, I'm just going to take a step. And maybe you're at the point where God got, I can do 5%. Okay. Say, God, I'm going to be consistent of putting you first with my 5%. And it's sort of like put God to the test and watch him blow you out of the water. It'll be beautiful. All right. So listen, and God says, I will bless you. And sometimes I've seen God bless, you know, financially. Sometimes it's blessed with favor. Sometimes I'm shopping for something and I get there and they got the deal of the century going on. And I don't go, oh, Lowe's, thank you for the deal of the century. I go, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's your favor in my life. And I go buy that big piece of whatever I had to buy. Okay. Alrighty, I want to give you some Old Testament, New Testament scriptures. Oh my golly gee, and we can wrap this up. Turn over to Proverbs 3, or just write it down. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Okay, so that means you're putting God first, okay? You're honoring God with it. You're putting him first, you're honoring him with it. Okay. Every time I give, I go, God, I just give this unto you. I honor you. I lift this up. It's to you. Okay. So honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Okay. And we knew Cain didn't get it and Abel did, right? Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. So what's that have to do today? God's saying, I will bless your finances. I will bless you in everything you do. I'll bless you with favor and opportunities and doors open. I will bless you, okay? So that's an Old Testament, but it's also an Old and New Testament principle for today. Everybody like that one? You all love the ones where I'll bless you, right? I do. Okay. This next one, just write this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Okay. Now, chapters 8 and 9 have to do 100% with giving. So if you want to know more about giving, go read chapters 8 and 9. And so it's all about giving. And Paul is giving all these talks about receiving an offering. Cha-ching, cha-ching. And he's talking about receiving an offering for these poor Christians that are in Jerusalem. And he goes to this church in Corinth and he says, hey, listen, these guys have famine going on. They're starving. You guys want to get in on it? Now, he didn't say you had to. He just gave them opportunity, right? Hey, you guys want to get in on it? All right. So you want to help them? And then later on he goes, man, you guys just blessed my socks off. You got in it and you just did it unto the Lord. You honored God. You put him first. And that's the first thing. And then you gave. Okay. Now, then he's going to wind up his teaching. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Y'all there? 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But remember this, if you give a little, you'll get a little. And I always want to say, I never give to get. There's this fine thing, because it has to do with your heart, all right? But this is written. Did you see that? It's written, all right? So I'm always very cautious when I teach about giving money, okay? We're not going to give to get, all righty? A farmer who plants a few seeds will get only a small crop, but if he plants much, he'll get much. Praise the Lord. Now, the next verse 7. Everyone must make up in his own mind. Listen up here. I love telling people what to do. I've gotten to the place in life, I just love telling you what to do. But this says you have to make up in your own mind. You have to decide the percentage. Okay, now, in case you want a little coaching, I'll tell you, but you get to decide. Make up in your own mind, all right? Make up in your own mind how much you should give. Don't force anyone to give more than he really wants to. Okay, this is written to preachers. This is written to me. This is written to all those TV guys, okay? And it says don't manipulate people to give. Don't work their emotions to give. It's a big point your finger at ministers, okay? And if I could tell you a half a dozen stories, if we had time, about people that have come into my office and said, oh, I was watching such and such preacher, and they just said, oh, you know, and made me feel, don't go by your feelings, okay? And I gave this $100, thousands of dollars, and then they start crying. And now I can't get my wash machine. I need my wash machine. Or now I can't pay my mortgage. Yeah, I've had that. Listen, say it. Okay, so anyway, it's a big warning. Don't force anyone to give more than he really wants to. For cheerful givers are the ones God prizes. Go like this. Ta-da! God prizes. Okay, God prizes. All right, so listen to this. When I'm given, putting it first, just because I want to, just because I love him, God says, I just prize you. I just, oh, gosh. You just make God dance and shout. That's how I read that, okay? So for cheerful givers are the ones that God prizes. God prizes. Praise the Lord. I lost my place. Hang on a minute. Yep. Verse 8 is about putting God first and having the right attitude. Verse 8. God is able to make it up to you. So God, what's that saying is, whatever you've given, God will make it up to you. Like in the more. Everybody say more. I love more. More. I'm going to get a t-shirt. More. Okay? He'll bring it back to you some way or another. Some shape or form. It's not always cha-ching, cha-ching. All right? So God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more. Extra, extra, more. So that there will not only be enough for your own, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Okay. So again, these are principles from cover to cover. It's not the law, but man, it's dang good, right? This is good. These are principles about put God first. Put God first in every area of your life. Put God first in your finances. And I'm not giving to get, but I'm telling you, I'm standing there with my eyes open going, I'm ready. Because I know my God. He wants to, he will. And he does bless. He does bless. How many have had God just bless the socks off of you? Golly, gee, just banana things. All right. But again, whatever you give out of your heart, God says, I promise, all right? So I want to just close. You can bow your heads, close your eyes. One, this is between you and God. This is between you and God, all right? And I'm not trying to get an offering for the church. You notice we did our offering first. Now, if I was one of those manipulators, I'd be taking up an offering. Ushers, stand up, come up front. We've worked them over, okay? No, that's not the purpose, okay? But that's not the purpose of this, all righty? But I am challenging you to make a decision to put God first in every area of your life. In every area of your life. And yes, we've been talking about finances, to put God first in your finances, all right? And I know a bunch of you, not because I look at your numbers or anything like that, but I know you're people that give, okay? My challenge is give in faith and then be expecting. I mean, I always have my honeydew list on the side of the refrigerator. You come over to my house and read it. I'm always expecting. All right. So those of you that you have done this and you continue to do this, I just challenge you to take up a notch, do it in faith, keep expecting. All right. Now, some of you, I believe that God's speaking to your heart, and I just challenge you to say, yes, God. Okay. Yes. I'm not Cainish. I'm Abelish. Yes, God. I'm going to figure this out. God, I'm going to figure this out. God, I want to put you first. So, God, I want to put you first in my finances. And some of you might be here saying, God, I hear this. I don't know how, but I'm going to dig into this, God. And I'm going to do as you lead me. Amen. So, praise God. I guess I'm praying. That's right. I'm praying. Okay. Father God, I thank you that you are a blessing, overflowing, good God always. And I thank you that you have opened our eyes to understand you and your character lavishing us in every area of our life. And I thank you, Father, that as we've heard these words, we'll do it in Jesus' name. One more thing while you're here. Maybe you came and you said, oh, dang, that preacher's going to talk about money. But you know what? She didn't do so bad. Yeah, not too bad. As a matter of fact, I just really can't. It made me more aware of God. So if maybe you're that person here today, or maybe you came in here and you're like, man, I just feel like God is far, far away. Or maybe you came in here today and you're really hungry for more, the more, the more. Or maybe you came in here and you're just like, I don't even know. I just don't even know. My life's just been like in a whirlwind. Well, I want to tell you the presence of the Lord is here, because the word has gone forth. There's two or more gathered. The presence of the Lord is here. And where the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty. And maybe you came here and I just want to challenge you. It says that if you would call on the name of the Lord, he'd open his arms to you. And the Bible says that he is the way, the truth, the light. He said anyone who just calls on him. You don't have to know a whole hunk of bunch of prayers. I knew three. The Hail Mary, the Our Father, and the Act of Contrition. And then none of them made any sense. And one day I said, God, none of that makes any sense. And I'm just going to call on you, Jesus. Because my life is a mess. My life is hurting. My life just doesn't make sense. And you don't have to wait till your life's a mess or your life's hurting. But I'll tell you, your life won't make sense unless you ask Jesus. So I'm just going to put this out today. If there's anybody here and you'd say, you know what, Pastor, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. And God says, if you call on him, he will bring you into his presence, bring you into heaven. It's called he'll save you. And he'll just give you this life with him. Life with him. So if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, you know what? I'm ready. Well, how about I can pray with you? All right, I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you. So the rest of y'all, let's pray this together with people. All right. And I'm always amazed. This happened about 2 years ago.